You can do your part to support 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB during this fall fund drive by making a phone call to 513-419-7155. As a nonprofit public radio station, we rely on listeners like you for more than half of the station's funding. If you're already a contributor, thank you so much. And if not, we're asking you to make your very first contribution right now, 513-419-7155. You can also contribute online at wvxu.org or wmub.org. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and during the next year, Xavier University is going to be doing an extensive examination of the issues surrounding immigration, migration, and refugees. A group of Xavier faculty and staff known as the Mission Animators will be providing various courses, film screenings, educational sessions, and panels. Joining us to discuss the Xavier Immigration Mission Animators program are Xavier University Conway Fellow on Immigration and Associate Professor of History, Dr. Christine Anderson, Xavier University Associate Professor of Management Information Systems, Talini Arichandra, and Mission Animator, Director of the Community Building Institute and Director of Urban Sustainability and Resilience Program at Xavier, Liz Bloom, will be joining us shortly, and also Mission Animator and Assistant to the President for Mission and Identity at Xavier, Dr. Deborah Mooney. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Good to see all of you.
Hello. Good to see you.
Deborah, Mission Animators is a very, very interesting name for this group. So I'm wondering how that name came to be. Tell us about that.
Well, it's quite interesting in that each animator represents a significant area of the university that the president was hoping could connect together even more so to animate the mission of the university. We're not sure that that's the spot-on title for it, but for a couple years now, we haven't come up with a better... That's right. And we always say, I'm not sure we want to be that, but it seems to work, so we haven't changed it. But the group, to give an idea of the areas of the sectors that are being pulled together, I kind of look at it as the sum is greater than the whole of the parts. And so, for instance, we have representative faculty from our core curriculum. And as they say, mission is carried in the curriculum. And we have sustainability, diversity and inclusion, interfaith engagement, community engagement, the theology department, the Center for Peace and Justice, and community building, and mission identity. I think that's all of us.
Did you get everybody, Chris?
It sounds like she has a lot of us, doesn't it?
Yeah. How many people are in this group?
It's about 10. 10 coming together I have to say, the first couple of years, it was helpful to know what each other is doing, because we didn't know each other's work as closely as it would be to be helpful to each other. And so for the first couple of years, we were kind of helping each other do that, the activities of each, the responsibilities of each of those areas. And I do add one more, Brueggemann Center for Dialogue, and one more. So this past year, we thought, what might we do that now brings it further out into the university and the general community? And so it was really actually quite late for a university. Back in April and May, we had this idea of, we had received a gift to help animate the mission, and we thought maybe instead of us doing something, we would offer it to faculty and staff within the campus community. We had an information session, and lo and behold, it was much more popular than we ever anticipated, in a pleasant way. But even at that day, we had to change rooms. We picked up and went to a different room across the hall that was bigger, because so many faculty and staff were interested in this topic. And so, given that it started so late, it's even more impressive and surprising, again, in a wonderful way, that this issue of immigration, migration, and refugees touched so many people.
Christine, what makes this such a relevant topic to the Cincinnati area?
Well, I think it's relevant in a number of ways. You know, we all got here because of immigration and migration. And this is part of our history. And so this is a way for us to connect our experiences and see how they intersect so that people whose families came here a long time ago can talk to people whose families or as individuals they've come here very recently. Some people have come from other countries, other continents. Some people have come from different parts of this country. We have refugees here today, about 200 a year coming into Cincinnati. But, you know, we also have had refugees coming here before. In the 19th century, we had runaway slaves who came here. During World War II, we had refugees from Nazi Germany who came here. So these are not necessarily new situations. But since I am, by training, a historian, one thing I want to do is connect the past to things that are going on today. So when I put forward my proposal for the fellowship in Jesuit education for the Conway Institute, I thought immigration was a way that we could connect some things.
And immigration, it certainly seems like a timely topic, too, with the presidential election. That's been one of the big issues that's come up a number of times.
Yes.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. So what's how much work has gone into putting all this together, Tolini? I mean, how did you pull something this extensive together?
I think overall there are probably 23 different events and programs that come under this initiative. And it's been interesting in that we've found ways to collaborate. We've found ways to connect even with the local community. So, for instance, one of the things that's been done by the Williams College of Business has extended to the community in that the regional chamber is involved in it, as well as Refugee Connect. So if I take that particular event as an example, it has to do with having a panel of immigrant refugee entrepreneurs talk about their experiences in their native countries, as well as their experiences here in the U.S., as well as in the tri-state area. So the hope is through that event, we would reach out to the local refugee communities, local immigrant business communities, as well as connect them with Xavier students so that we can gain from these experiences, we can reflect on it, and kind of stand in solidarity so we are more aware of, what is possible and the potential and how we can work together.
You work with information technology and data. Have you been accumulating information on immigration in the U.S. and immigration worldwide as part of the program? Is that something you're looking at, is the numbers?
I've certainly looked at some numbers related to Cincinnati and Ohio. In general, but not necessarily overall. There are certainly different websites that would give us that type of information that's been done. The regional chamber definitely wants to move forward with this initiative and make sure that the local economy includes the immigrants and refugees as part of it. How do we help them do that? So in some ways, this panel is a way of building awareness, thinking about the challenges, issues they may have as they come in. How have past, successful immigrant refugee entrepreneurs gained that success? What were the challenges and best practices they faced? So, it's a conversation about insightful experiences. So, as I said, it's a great example of how we've connected, Xavier community stakeholders, starting from the Brueggemann Center to the Center for Social Justice, the WCB Center for International Business, because what we're looking at is a very unique view of international business from the eyes of immigrants and refugee businesses. And then connecting the students all back into it.
Tolini, you were mentioning earlier some of the numbers about how much capital immigrants bring into the state, and I was just astounded Can
sure.
you give that figure?
So I was specifically looking at some statistics I got from immigrationpolicy.org, and it talks about how the Latino and Asian entrepreneurs and consumers bring in about close to $19 billion in buying power just to Ohio. And I think that's a great statistic in terms of what is possible. I mean, what is happening right now.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Anybody have any idea how many international students are at Xavier and how involved they are in this?
I'm sorry, I'm not. That's why I asked Leni for the numbers.
So as far as I know, it's about... in terms of the international student population, it is about 5%. However, I think we're trying to reach different international groups through this type of mission animator work that we're doing.
Deborah, talk about some of the immigration-related topics that have been covered this
yes.
fall.
They are a wide range, so anywhere from getting to know immigrants and refugees on a very personal basis, understanding their experience. This has been an initiative as a Jesuit Catholic university. This is certainly a focus from Pope Francis. Some people even saying his signature phrase is culture of encounter. And he believes to really understand an issue, which is the purpose of a university, you need to understand people's experiences, especially people that might be different than you. And if you think of all the pictures we've ever seen from him, he's always usually with people who are different than him. He really has brought that spirit. And so many of them are understanding people's experiences. Groups are focusing, particularly from our College of Professional Sciences, are focusing on needs and kind of joys and challenges that refugees and immigrants new to the community might be assisted with. In fact, those are happening today and tomorrow, some of them. Some are watching films. Some are focusing on immigration communities past and what we can learn today. Some are focusing today. I think Chris has a wonderful one that's going to be targeting towards the end of the spring, if you want to describe yours. I think it gives a wonderful example of...
Sure. So this semester, we're putting together some conversations for diverse members of the community and students and faculty and staff from Xavier. In the spring, we'll do a wrap-up in June at the Cintas Center, where people can bring documents, artifacts, images from their immigrant past, and we will digitize them, and they'll be able to have digital copies, and we hope that they will allow us to put those digital copies also on the website that we've created on immigration and the Jesuit heritage.
So things related to their immigration experience, what some examples?
Letters. Someone was telling me that she had letters from members of her family as they were working to escape the Holocaust. Or my immigrant grandmother used to bring back dolls and flags. We have pictures. Many of us have pictures of our immigrant grandparents or parents, and it would be fun to be able to have those digitized so they don't age and so we can look at all of ours. One of the interesting sources that I've seen recently are pictures of groups of children. You know, when we come here, any of us as immigrants, we want to transfer to our children who are now American, but we also want them to know that they have an immigrant past. And so in Kentucky, there was the Shamrock basketball team. We have various schools and things like that. So those pictures are very revealing of sort of the complexity of our immigrant experience.
And are these events open to the public?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Always,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Always open to the public.
There's a list of them. If anyone wants to see them, they can find them at www.xavier.edu/identity.
OK. We have a link to that on our site, WVXU.org. You have a film screening that is tomorrow. Who can tell me about the film screening?
I am not sure that that film screening is actually happening. What I do know that are happening today and tomorrow, especially if people are in, if there's professionals that are interested in working with populations from in the professional sciences areas like physical therapy, occupational therapy, psychology, education, that event is happening. And then one specifically for counseling and mental health needs.
So ultimately, Tolini, is the idea to get people to take a different perspective on immigration and the refugee crisis, to see it through a different set of eyes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you exactly said it. That's what we would like to do, build awareness. And also, I think, for instance, the event that I mentioned that's happening on November 17th from 6 to 8:30 at Xavier on the immigrant entrepreneurs, to make connections between students and this immigrant refugee population in a way that they can potentially collaborate, perhaps have students help with different needs they have and so on. So certainly open their eyes and also find ways to network and collaborate in the future.
Mm-hmm. Are you working with different groups in the area who serve the immigrant population, or are you collaborating with them on this?
Yes, and it's interesting. One of the reasons that none of us probably know a lot of details about either any one of the 24 or 5 that are funded, except for both Chris's specific one and Tolini's, is because that was kind of the what we thought was what made it particularly special, this idea of everyone could take their area of interest and expertise and enhance it in ways that are fitting for the particular faculty and staff's interest and the student interest. And so
you've got a diversity of different topics and things going on because of this.
Yes. Yeah. And they're still in. Some of them are still in development. The big idea was there. The details are still being fleshed out for each of them.
And one of the wonderful things has been that now we have some coordinated programming. So we have a range of things going on campus, all focused or all related to this topic of immigration, migration, and refugees. And then. And some people are working with Refugee Connect or Catholic Social Services. My project, we're putting together discussion groups with local immigrant communities, both old and new, various social service organizations. Anyone who's interested in participating in such an organization, I'll put in my plug, can email me at immigrationproject@xavier.edu, and we'll be happy to help you see what these discussions are about.
I'd certainly like to add and say that because there are 25 different events and they all touch different parts of the university, we're really looking at a issue in so many different angles, and that really makes a very comprehensive, lets us have a very comprehensive understanding.
Yeah, this sounds like it's very broad and extensive. It's something that, do you know of any other universities have taken on something of this scope?
I'm not aware of.
Yeah, because this sounds like this is a pretty expansive undertaking that you've got going on here. What kind of reaction, Deborah, have you gotten from people about doing this?
Well, as I said, that even that our own campus, that initial meeting was quite surprising. Through social media, the National Jesuit Refugee Service came across it, and they have offered resources and support as well. So it has expanded beyond certainly our campus in ways that that we, again, hadn't thought about so quickly, but is wonderful. And each event, and as more and more people are understanding what's happening, I think it continues to kind of roll and spiral and grow in many ways. I think we focus at a university on education and educated activism, and so you know, you had asked the question about changing people's perspective, and I don't know if changing necessarily is the hope for this. It's just, I think, deeper understanding so that people know the issue that is so popular right now.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're hoping comes from this.
Yes.
And Chris, what kind of impact are you hoping this will have?
I'm hoping that that people will begin to talk to each other across their different experiences. Sometimes those are difficult conversations, but often people find similarities in their experiences. For our undergraduate students who sometimes say that they're in the Xavier bubble, I'd like to get them out into the community, and which is a wonderful thing. I think we do some really wonderful things, but I'd like to also get them out to meet some other people who might be different from folks they've known before this, and to practice having these conversations about things. We don't all have to agree, but our Jesuit heritage tells us that we have to think and reflect carefully about these issues. So that's my hope.
Well, this will definitely get people outside their bubbles, that's for sure. And Chalini, what about you? What are you hoping comes out of this?
It's hard to add to what Deborah and Chris said. Really, that's my goal in terms of my event, as well as in trying to collaborate with other events too. The Xavier bubble is certainly something we all think about, and enriching our students' lives in a way that's meaningful, that will help them go out into the world and become better citizens overall. I guess the other piece of it, if at all, is I was pleasantly surprised and amazed at how the local community, when they heard about the event that we were putting together, kind of came and was kind of like, so when is it happening? How can I help? What can we do? And they wanted to be part of that conversation and saw these events and topics to be something very important that needed to be discussed.
Deborah, at this point, any idea what the innovators or the animators will be working on for next year?
We are just starting to think about that because it is much more helpful to be thinking about it in August and September for the next year rather than April and May.
Right, let's get through this one first, right?
Yes, we're thinking about economic inequality.
Okay.
Yeah, so as specifically as it relates to hunger and poverty, but maybe we're deciding kind of how along that continuum, but a social justice as it relates to the economy, personal finances and economy.
Well, thanks, all of you, for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Xavier University Conway Fellow in Immigration and Associate Professor of History, Dr. Christine Anderson. Xavier University Associate Professor of Management Information Systems, Dr. Talini Erichandra. And Mission Animator and Assistant to the President for Mission and Identity at Xavier, Dr. Deborah Mooney. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Here and Now is coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. While both the Clinton and Trump campaigns claimed victory, it's still uncertain how much Monday night's presidential debate will affect the final election outcome. On the next Cincinnati Edition, political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson join us to discuss the race and what they consider were key moments in that first debate. That's Cincinnati Edition tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.